Lord, the book of Ephesians, please, chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10, if you will, please. Because he's worthy, and he is worthy, amen, he's worthy, then I'm going to fight for him. Because he's worthy, I'm going to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to fight for the local church. I'm going to fight for soul winning. I'm going to fight for the things that are right, until God takes me home. The Apostle Paul thought the same way. He wrote in chapter 6, verse 10 in the book of Ephesians, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." About 20 years ago, we were on tour down in North Carolina. We got into the church, and the pastor said, "I'll be preaching." It was Sunday morning. I said, "That's fine, pastor." And so he got up in that morning, and he's a good man, and he said this: "The word of God reads, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against," and he said, "This is what I'm preaching on today, the willies of the devil." The willies of the devil. And I mean, he reared back and he preached against the willies of the devil. And I don't know what the willies are, but man, they were good that day. I'm not preaching against the willies of the devil tonight, but I am going to say a few things about the wiles of the devil. I thank the Lord that I'm saved. I'm saved off of a bus route up in Lynchburg. And my mother and dad were divorced when I was 11. Daddy tried to do the best he could to raise my little brother and me, but we were hoodlums. We were mean. Mama was gone. Daddy was disabled from World War II. And Daddy had a hard time with my little brother and me. But a preacher came along and loved my little brother and me. And we went to church. And I probably, because I was a bus kid, I probably got saved and baptized 4 or 5 times because I was a bus kid. The water was warm, and somebody would take us out to eat. Amen, brother, right there. Bus kid. I got that thing down. But as when I was in high school, my little brother and I, we were in so much trouble. Went to a revival at that particular church, and Oliver B. Green, remember him? Oliver B. Green, that old leather-lunged evangelist from Greenville, South Carolina, take your Bibles. Ah. You know, man, he just knew how to preach. And I got saved that night, saved. And I'll never get over it. And then the youth pastor took me down to Tennessee Temple College and showed me the college. And I said, "Man, I can't go to college. I got kicked out of school twice and messed up." And he said, "No, God will help you." And we went down there. And I thank the Lord, met Rita on a blind date. And we've been married for 52 years, and God's been good to me. And the one thing that I want to get across tonight is that we're in a fight. We are in a spiritual battle. And there is a target on our back right now. So we can sit back and we can watch the world. We can watch CNN. We can watch Fox. We can do all that business and everything else and sit back and be fear mongers, or we can fight. Now, I'm not talking about being militant and stupid. I'm talking about some things, and I'm going to give a couple of illustrations tonight that I think that will warm your heart and show you how we can fight the good warfare as we put on the whole armor of God, every bit of the armor, because we need the armor, because the world, the flesh, the devil, everything seemingly is against us, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so I think about this. I think about Paul talking to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He looks at Timothy and he said, "Timothy," and he's talking to this young man, he said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And there's one thing I want to say to these young people. If I'm approaching eternity, I have fought a good fight. I'm not bragging or complaining. I'm just saying I fought a good fight. This man right here has fought a good fight. This man has fought a good fight. He's still alive and he's still swinging. And I'm not talking about being militant. I'm a fundamentalist. Okay, yay, you're a fundamentalist. I'm talking about a fundamentalist with a brain, with a spirit, with grace, with strength, with courage. And I want to hammer away at it for about 10 minutes because I'm getting hungry. Okay. When I think about this, I think about Moses. Man, I'm 75 years old, but if old Moses was 40 years leading those millions of people through the promised land, he's an 80-year-old spiritual leader. Me too. If God will give me health, if God will give me strength, I want to be a leader, and I want to be a fighting leader. I want to fight for my family. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with four people. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with Todd Weaver. Don't mess with Joey Weaver. And don't mess with my pastor. Amen. Moses. I mean, that guy had a fighting heart. Joshua had to follow Moses. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I mean, that guy, he was a fighter. I think about Gideon. Gideon was terrified. He was timid, but he fought on. He was a wheat thresher. He had a lawn business. But he was called of God to do something miraculous, and God gave him the power to fight through this thing. I think of Elijah. He stood up and said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's a good attitude. Jeremiah, the weeping, the crybaby preacher. But nobody could stop him. Nobody. Nobody could stop the preacher with the heart. Jeremiah, he fought on. Paul, man, he taught Timothy. He said, "Now, Timothy, we're going to fight the good fight." And I like that. And fighting the good fight means more than just being a Baptist or whatever. It means standing for righteousness and against evil. So how can you and I maintain in this crazy, crazy society and culture? How can we maintain a fighting heart? How can we do that? I'm going to give you several ways. Number one, stand clean before the Lord. It starts with my heart. My heart has got to be clean. I've got to run from pornography. I've got to flee youthful lust. I've got to run from wicked TV. And if I don't do that, I'm going to become a victim to this stuff. I'm going to become a victim, and every man in here knows what I'm talking about. If you're a red-blooded brother. And I'm telling you, brethren, we have got to fight this thing. We've got to fight it. Well, how do you do it, Toby? I run. Like a scalded dog. I run. They don't know what a scalded dog is in California, but y'all do, okay? A scalded dog. So we've got to stand clean before the Lord. Do you have a place where sometimes when you feel dirty, every once in a while there's a place way out in the desert about 13 miles east of our college. I drive out there. It's called Saddleback Butte. And it hardly ever is anybody, it's a state park, hardly ever is anybody there, Pastor. But I'll go back there and I'll get up on those rocks and it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful part of the desert I've ever seen. The sun sets, the sun rises out there. And I'll go out there and I'll get cleaned up. I'll get cleaned up. Lord, you got to help me. I don't know how to answer this. I don't know what to do today. I've got a dilemma at the college. My boys are struggling a little bit. We have grandchildren. We have all that things. I got a bill I didn't expect. This happened, that happened. Does anybody else go through that kind of stuff? Then we need a place. We need a place where we go get clean. And it's just you and the Lord. And that's when the Lord knows, hey, you're in a fighting mood because I've got to be right before I can do any of this. I don't want to stand up here and be a cotton-picking hypocrite. Number one, I've got to stand clean before the Lord. Number two, I've got to speak up for my faith. I love faith, saving faith, living faith, faith for grace. I got to speak up for my faith. My wife's a great blessing to me. And Pastor, thank you for putting us in a nice, beautiful hotel. I was coming down from the hotel, getting ready to go to the van, coming over to church tonight, and Rita was down there talking to the clerk at the desk. And the guy's probably 6'4", 6'5". And my little wife is standing there just witnessing to that guy. And it just warmed my heart. And the guy said, "I'm an atheist." Well, maybe an agnostic, but she's trying. She's fighting for the faith. She's fighting for the faith. We stopped today at Dunkin' Donuts. Thank the Lord for that. We stop at every one of them. We know Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, I ought to buy a stock in that joint. And so on the way over here from Greenville, we stopped by the Dunkin' Donuts thing because those girls love coffee. And we went in there and gave people the gospel. And not shoving it down their throat and cramming it down their throat. But the Bible says, go ye. The Bible says, he that win the souls is wise. And so I thought, I need some wisdom. I need a little wisdom. How do you get that? He that win his souls is wise. God honors that. And we got to fight for it. And we got to step up. We've got to step up with courage. Because we're afraid of the world, the flesh. We've been intimidated so much that we're retreating. And I'm not in the mood to retreat. I'm not in the mood to back up. I'm in the mood to say, I'm born again, I'm saved, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I've got problems just like everybody else, health problems, financial problems. We all have that stuff. Everybody in this room has that stuff. But if we keep going this way rather than that way, we're going to lose this thing, man. I'm not in the losing mood. I played tennis with this guy, man, and he beat me. And then I beat him, and he jumps over the net. And I mean, if I lose, I'll jump over the net if I win, but I'm going to jump over the net if I lose, man. So I got to speak. I've got to stand clean. I got to stand clean. If I want to fight, I got to stand clean. First of all, it begins with us finding that place with the Lord. Lord, I'm going to come on and get clean today. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm fretful. I have apprehensions. The pressure of what's going on. Lord, I'm going to come to you today because I need you, and I want to fight for you, and he'll help you because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not going to bail on you. I need to speak up for my faith, just like Rita did and the kids did today at the donut joint. Number three, I need courage. I need courage. Joshua said over and over and over, fear not. Jesus said, fear not. 366 times in your Bible and in my Bible in black and white, it says, fear not. One for every day of the year and one for leap year. Fear not. And the devil wants to get you to fear. But faith can overcome fear. Faith to live this Christian life. Faith in spite of people will want to rob you of your joy. You mean you go down to that Buffalo Ridge, all they talk about is money down there. Well, stupid, how are you going to keep the lights on without talking about money? Well, you've remodeled, this is beautiful. How did you, I mean, and then people will criticize. You mean you go down to that Independent Fundamental? Yeah, I do. You ought to come, man. We got this pastor, we got this guy lead singing, and the Wakefields are down there. They got this beautiful baby, and everybody thanks the Lord. The baby looks like the mother instead of the dad. Hi, Becca. Nice to see you. Courage. 12 spies, two of them had courage, Joshua and Caleb. Weak hearts are fading away. We don't need folks at Lancaster Baptist and folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist to have weak hearts. We need to have the heart of a warrior. A mama with the heart of a warrior where her kids know she prays and she loves daddy, even though daddy's like me, he's daddy. You know, he's got his stuff. Rita and I have been married 52 years. We haven't talked about divorce or separation. On three occasions, she's mentioned murder. And a couple of those times, I probably deserved it, you know. In between ministries, years ago, we were down in Florida. In between ministries, I took a job at Sears Roebuck. And I was a manager of the shoe department and the men's department in Brandon, Florida, in a brand new mall, in between ministries, waiting on the Lord to show us what to do. And worked with eight different managers, and man, it was crazy. And the associates, I mean, it was just retail stuff. And I was, Pastor, angry at the Lord for working at Sears rather than being in a church or a college. And I would cry. I choke up. I said, Lord, I want to be in ministry, but it was just a little season. We had to do that. And about the second week there, I pulled up in front of Sears in Brandon, Florida. And the Lord said, "Why don't you pastor the store?" I said, "Pardon me." And the Lord said, "Sears Baptist Church, go pastor the store." I said, "Pastor the store?" He said, "Yeah, go pastor the store. Take your Bible in there." Well, I'm the shoe department manager. I'm the men's department manager. The Lord said, Get some spiritual grit, Toby. And I said, okay. So I went home and got my Bible. I walk into Sears with my Bible. I'm the pastor of the Sears Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. And God honored that. I began praying for associates, praying for managers. Won some folks to the Lord. They came to Providence Baptist in Riverview, Florida. It's amazing. This book scares the snot out of people. All of a sudden, all these cussing managers and all these cussing people in there, hey, amen, brother. We had a religious store. You know, and I treated it like a church. I said, okay, Melinda, I want you to stand at the door. And she was a University of Southern Florida girl. And I said, when people come in, good morning, welcome to Sears. We're glad you're here today. And be friendly and be kind. And these kids start talking to me about the Lord. Toby, could you talk to us? Mr. Weaver, could you talk to us? Yeah. And people getting saved. And I'm telling you, if you go to work tomorrow and have that kind of attitude, the job that's so hard to work at won't be so tough. And the people that are so tough to work for and work with won't be so hard, but you got to fight for it. Everybody okay so far? Almost done. Well, you got to stand clean. Woo! That's tough sometimes. I got to speak up for my faith. I've got to have courage to do it. I've got to have determination. My wife and I have been traveling for 23 years. And I only have 415 speeding tickets. I'm just kidding. We've been traveling for a long time, and God's been good to us and protected us, and churches like yours and others, and it's just a great, great, great blessing. We were with a tour group a number of years ago. I thought about this morning, and it was a girls' group. And one of the girls said, Brother Weaver, can we eat at a truck stop today? I said, truck stop? Yeah, can we eat at a truck stop? I said, a truck stop? Yeah, we've never eaten at a truck stop. I said, well, okay. Okay, we'll eat a truck stop for lunch, you know. So we pull into this truck stop, and there's 18-wheelers everywhere, you know. All these big old truck drivers, you know. They were whoppers. And so we go in there, and we're sitting there, you know, and we pray, and they bring the food, you know. And there were these two truckers sitting about from here, about where you are, brother. And many looked over, and they saw these clean, pure, godly girls, and they started talking trash talk. Some of it was pretty dirty. And Brother Wade really kept looking at me like, are you going to do something? And I said, uh-uh. The guy's a huge man. And she kept looking at me, and I thought, if I don't do something, she will. And so I said, well, Lord, I'm going to go over there and talk to those guys. And those girls kept looking at me. Rita kept looking at me. I was scared half to death, man. Scared out of my mind. And so I swallowed real hard, and I walked over there, and I started singing my theme song, I'm Coming Home. Coming home. And I walked over and I said, hey guys, my name is Toby. And that's my wife over there. And those four girls are from a Bible college. And I said, you guys are going over the top in your language. You shouldn't talk like that in front of those girls. I said, you shouldn't do that. I said, that's disrespectful. It's not even manly. And they stood up and they kept standing up. And I said, oh my word. I mean, they got these chains and beard and big old burly guys, you know, big old arms, and I looked down and I said, I'm serious. And the guy said, well, I'm sorry. I said, pardon me? Would you say that again, please? And I said, well, tell the girls you're sorry. I said, well, if I get this far, maybe I'll get to second base. They apologized. We just need to fight. They told me, were you scared? I was petrified. Are you ever scared giving out a track? Yes, sir. You ever get nervous knocking on the door? Yes, sir. I do. But if we don't fight, it ain't gonna get done. And we gotta do it. Now, what can we do then? What can we do? And I'm finished. I've gotta be determined. I've gotta be devoted. In Lancaster Baptist Church, in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, when people walk in here, they ought to sense an unusual joy. So when Brother Rogers gets up to sing, let her rip. Let her rip. I want a guy to the Lord out in California, one of the first guys I led to the Lord 20 years ago. It took me an hour to find the guy's house, and he wasn't home. I left him a note. His name was Sammy. I said, dear Sammy, my name is Toby. If you can come to church tomorrow, I'll meet you by the fireplace. Next morning, this guy, 6'4", I mean, built like a rock. I mean, great big guy. He comes in. I'm standing by the fireplace, and he said, are you Toby? And I said, maybe. Man, a big old guy, you know. And he said, my name is Sammy. I said, oh, you came today. Good. And he got saved, got baptized. He became one of the ushers at church. And we went down there, and the song leader started singing, you know. And he was as monotone as they come. What can wash away my sin? And I looked up at him. He said, what? I said, nothing, man. That's cool. So even if you're making a joyful noise, let it rip, brother. Let people see, hey, well, I got the joy of the Lord. Yeah, but I don't feel good. Well, most time, most of us don't feel pretty good, you know. But what can we do here? Shake hands. Be overly friendly. Hey, thank you for coming to church today. We're glad you're here. How did you hear about the church? Look around. The folks visiting tonight probably. Look around and just go out of your way. It's the way to build the church. It's the way to do it. If you can take somebody for a coffee and pie tonight, you ought to do it. Be different. The only way we can make a difference is be different. We cannot be the old. I remember the good old days. We don't live in the good old days. We live in the good old day today. And so today, God has given me today. Yesterday's gone. I might not have tomorrow. I'm gonna love the snot out of today. And I keep using that word. I'm sorry. I'm gonna love whatever out of the day today. Forgive me. I'm sorry. So that's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna fight, and we're not gonna be militant, crazy, whatever, but we're going to be full of grace. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to run from sin. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take a stand at work, but I'm going to do it with grace. And I'm going to do it, and I've got to keep my heart and my mind clean. It's the only way we can fight. And we need to do this today, because just any moment now, Jesus may come. He may come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the Word of God. It's so plain and clear to me. It's so clear. And you teach us, Father, and you instruct us what to do and how to do it. May we do it. May we not be afraid of people and circumstances and things that come our way, but that we would walk by faith and not by sight. And I pray that you'd give us great grace in our church in Lancaster, and great grace here at Buffalo Ridge. You've given us unusual worship places and pastors and people that we know and we love, and I pray that you'd help us not to retreat, but to lovingly move forward. Help us to do it with your power, because you're able. You're our friend. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Much, Brother Weaver. Let me just ask you if you'd settle on some of those thoughts that he had given tonight. And really, it could be summed up by saying he challenged us to live clean, live pure, live, stand for the fight, but do it personally, do it in your church, and do it at your work. Really, your life can be compartmentalized fairly easily. You do it personally, you let that pour out to the people that you're around a lot, and then you let it pour out to the people who you're not around in such an intimate way, but that you're around at work and things. And I ask you to stand and fight and stay clean, just as Brother Weaver mentioned, because this life, this Christian life, needs to be very, very real and very, very personal and very, very outpouring from us into the world around us. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I ask you to do a great work, and I pray and ask you to let people commit to you, dear Lord, to live. Make this thing real to them. May we not be spectators, but participators, dear Lord, and get in this thing. Flee youthful lust. Live for you. Stay clean and get in the fight. Get in the fight, I pray. Would you stand together as the instruments begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Somebody probably needs to tell the Lord, Lord, I do need to get in the fight. I've been on the sidelines long enough. I didn't even know there was a fight going on. And he reiterated many times, he's not talking about fighting and being unkind and being with an ugly spirit, but fighting. You'd fight for your family, men. Somebody was trying to hurt or break in or break somebody or something. You'd fight for that because it's so valuable to you. Got to fight for our faith as well. Serve the Lord with vigor and fire. And live for God in all that we do. Would you come tonight? The altar is open for you. You'd like to come and pray and seek God's face about that or something. As they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, would you do business with Him? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. Brother Weaver didn't specifically preach on that, but he mentioned it many, many times when he was a youth, that he got to a place where he realized he needed to be saved. And maybe you're here tonight, and you may be a church member, you may be a tender, but you now know that you know you need to be saved. If that's you tonight, Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit that was preached from tonight, would you step out and come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Thank you. You can look this way. Well, I want to thank you for being in church tonight. The trio and the piano player, thank you for being here with us. And Brother Weaver, thank you for coming our way. It's always a joy to get to have him, and we're joyed to have the college, of course, as well. And this is a great group of young people, I'm sure. And so I certainly love the message. I learned tonight that we can love the snot out of somebody, beat the snot out of somebody, live the snot out of life, and run the snot out of whatever you're going to run for. It's helped me all over the place. So I get in trouble for my wife for saying that. Say, oh, John, that's so crude. But it must be orders from headquarters, I guess. So thank you for being with us, Brother Weaver. Thank you, Miss Weaver, for coming. I'm going to ask the young people, if you don't mind, to slip out. And Brother Weaver, you slip out to the table. And I know that Kyle is doing some things afterwards. But you can spend some time in the lobby. Hopefully you'll get some of the resources, the books and CDs and things that will be a great blessing to you. And I know that you will enjoy all of that. It's been a great place to be. Thank you for being in church. We are looking forward to a great prayer meeting this Wednesday night. Be praying for that meeting. If you're able to be here, we want to challenge you to be here. The youth department will be meeting, the Patch the Pirate Clubs, all the things will be happening. And then we'll have Bible study in here at 7. If you're not able to be here, please pray for us that God would meet with us. And I know that work schedules and different things come in. You just can't get here. I understand that, but even when that happens, please try to remember to pray that God would meet with us, because you never know who's going to come through those back doors. Somebody that's just lowest place in their life could come through those doors, and that service on a Wednesday night might be just exactly what they need to help them make it through that valley that they're in. Or somebody unsaved just came to church. And that was the one time that they came. They didn't come for the revival meeting. They didn't come for the evangelistic meeting. They just came for a prayer meeting, but God met with them. So pray. When you can't be here on services, please pray for us. And speaking of services, one last announcement. The tent revival out on the Bristol Highway, 7:30 each night this week, Monday through Friday. And if you're able to be there, I know that it'll be a wonderful services. I wasn't able to go last week. I'll hopefully get over this week sometime. But I know they've been having great, great services, and challenge you to be over there, and you have some good times together with the Lord, I'm sure. So thank you for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.